Criticism, historiography, and popular discourse generally have accepted a view of popular music in the 1960s as split according to genre, and, more tacitly, race. On one hand is rock music, which is white. On the other, soul music, which is black. We hear Creedence Clearwater Revival's 1970 version of I Heard It Through the Grapevine as classic rock. The 662nd greatest classic rock song of all time, according to the aforementioned radio station poll. And we hear Marvin Gaye's slightly earlier version as something else, even though Gaye's version spent 7 weeks atop the charts in 1968 and 1969 and was clearly far more popular in its day among white and black listeners. As the previous paragraph suggests, these divisions didn't happen as naturally as we're often inclined to think. They took work. As Franco Fabri and Simon Frith have both argued, popular music genres are a collapsing of sociological and ideological arguments, indicating the social positions of performers and audiences, while also describing the ways these communities position themselves within and project themselves to the larger world. Rock and roll became white in large part because of stories people told themselves about it, stories that have come to structure the way we listen to an entire era of sound. In telling the story of those stories, I want to suggest ways to hear this music differently, more complexly, and more clearly. In other words, to hear it better. As Ingrid Monson has written, music is full of ideas that are evaluated by audiences and musicians, that acquire authority and prestige within particular aesthetic landscapes, and that are perceived to say something substantive about human experience and feeling. This statement seems particularly true of popular music, where processes of production, circulation, and reception are wide-ranging and fluid, and where the acquisition of authority and perception of what music says are often determined by ideological forces that far exceed the practice of musicians themselves.